You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to part two of our interview with paranormal storyteller Jeff Belanger about the haunted White House. What, I mean, I know you did the book originally a couple years back, but what would be one of the more current hauntings or stories that have come out of the White House? Are you aware of anything? This would be really curious of anything in the current administration, of anything that anyone has shared of what's going on, but just in the last handful of years.
Yeah, so I found, because this book has come out in two editions in print, and now it's an audiobook. So I keep getting new information. And one trend I found is that I'm not going to hear any stories until the president is out of office.
Okay.
So it seems that there seems to be a little bit of a lag before the president and that administration will start talking about these kind of things. They want to make sure that there's no more political price to play. To pay. And so I have heard about the Obamas, that they supposedly had some guests that stayed over one night who felt something grabbing at their feet of the bed, in the middle of the night, and had reported it. They had heard it was haunted, and this is what they experienced. And that was during the Obama administration. During the George W. Bush administration, he actually has a story that goes back before he was president, when his father was running for re-election. He was working on the campaign and was staying in the White House. And there's an exercise room up on the second floor, and he was using it, and he was completely alone in the upper part of the building on that day. And I guess he had come out of his workout and seen a man down the hall standing there who just did not belong there at all. And so he goes running back into the room. The thing's gone. So President George W. Bush has allegedly had experiences there. Hillary Clinton said in an interview once that the place can be really spooky at night. It's that stuff will come out, but I think it comes out a little bit later.
Sure. Well, after anyone who's speaking of it has any political ambitions too.
Yeah. That seems to be the way. And I get it. I understand.
Sure.
And so I also, when the book came out, I had all these aspirations. I've sent it to every president, just as a gift. And George W. Bush wrote me a letter back, saying congratulations on the publication of your book. I mean, whatever. It was cool. Cool, sure, to get that on White House stationery. And I guess I had this aspirations of like, okay, the Obamas' kids are going to be scared about the ghost stories, and they're going to call me. They're going to need me to come down there. And I just waited by the phone, Tony. I waited again and again, hours, days, weeks, and the phone hasn't rung. And I'm like, okay, well, Trump's administration, someone's going to call me there and be like, this is getting really spooky here. And still nothing. So what are you going to do?
I guess keep sending books,
Yeah. You never know.
It sounds like a lot of the spirits and ghosts in the White House are, either they're there for a purpose or they're fairly benign, if you will. Is there anything that you've heard of or found in your research? This probably, I'm guessing, wouldn't make the children's book, but yeah. Is there anything that you found in there that seemed a bit more nefarious or malevolent within the walls of the White House?
No, I really haven't. And just because it was a chill, I mean, again, it was aimed at middle readers. I would pull no punches. Those kids love that stuff. But I have not found anything overly dark, other than the black cat being some kind of harbinger.
Sure.
But what you said before, every ghost serves a purpose. All of them, everywhere. Even if you don't fully understand what it is, I think a ghost forces a larger conversation, and that I'm a huge fan of that. I'm a huge fan of people saying, well, why does this building have this haunted reputation? And then it forces you to ask other questions. What happened here? What took place? Who lived here? Who died here? Who came and went inside these walls? Why is it still here? What can we learn from it? What is it doing trying to get our attention? Why do we need to know about it right now? And that goes from grandma's ghost, you know, in your living room to Lincoln at the Lincoln bedroom in the White House and everything in between. There's so much we don't understand about time and space and how the universe works and our place in it. And I think that having this dialogue about it is really helpful because it allows us to kind of like explore all these different things, explore death and dying and afterlife. And also it makes us think about what kind of mark do you want to leave? You know, how do you want to be remembered? And that's so powerful. Like that's huge, right? Our egos are a powerful thing. And it made me think there's a Mexican proverb that says we all die three deaths. You know, the first death is when your body expires. And the second death is when your corpse is laid in the ground. But the third and final death comes at some unknown time in the future. And that happens when your name is uttered for the last time. And that's when you're truly gone, when no one can even remember your name. And I believe that that's part of the reason that we talk about ghosts only for a certain time period, right? Civil War ghosts, plenty of those around. Victorian era, sure. Early 1900s, absolutely. At some point, you go far enough back, we don't really talk about them anymore because we forgot their names and we forgot what mark they left on our world. And so we don't need them anymore, which sounds horribly cruel to say, but there it is. But we still need those Civil War ghosts because our nation has been pretty divided in the past and it got bloody.
Yeah.
And so maybe we need President Lincoln right now more than ever. Maybe we need those Civil War era ghosts more than ever during these troubled times because we've been here before and we ignore that at our peril. That should haunt us, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that should haunt us if we're human about it.
It should. It should be something that we're able to look at and go, yes, this is, it's in our history. It's not that far back in our history when we look at the course of our fairly young country. But fortunately, perspective these days seems to be very, very narrow in focus. But yeah, I mean, it's something we need to look back on and go, yes, this is a possibility. It has happened before.
Yeah, so call me just, you know, I'm just a starry-eyed kid, I guess, but I think a ghost story could save the world.
You know? Yeah.
And I'm not joking. I mean, I really believe that. I believe that these stories, these legends, the lore, the experience, and talking about the experience, these are things that kind of like bring us together.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like you want to divide a room, walk in and just yell Trump, right?
Yeah.
Like just that, just say nothing more. Watch the room divide, right? But you walk in and you say, hey, I had this ghost experience, or did you hear about this haunted place? Then suddenly people lean in and go, oh, tell me about it. Mm-hmm. I've had an experience like that too. And suddenly we're talking about the things that we have in common. We're all going to die. We've got that. You know, we're all heading to this black abyss somewhere there in the future. And what kind of ghost are we going to leave behind? Who are we going to haunt? These are things I think about all day long. I have such a growing list of people that I intend to haunt. I'm going to need millennia to get to all of it.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's true. I mean, it's one of those things that truly does bring people together, whether they believe or not. It is one of those things where there's just that intrigue and it's able to open up a conversation. When we're talking about, obviously, the ghosts of the White House, there's obviously many other, official federal buildings all around Washington, D.C. Do any of them hold a good deal of spirit as well as the White House?
Yeah, I think any building with all that history and all those transient places where so many people have come and gone, they leave a little something behind. Ford's Theater, of course, was where President Lincoln was shot. Did not die there, however. He died across the street a few hours later. That building has got its haunted reputation. The box where he was shot is behind plexiglass now, and you can visit it. The Capitol building has its ghosts. I mentioned the cat there, but they also have their own, you know, spirits and so on. And I think just about any one of those, Arlington, National Cemetery. I mean, there's so many accounts that I've heard of. You see soldiers marching and you think, oh, that's just someone doing drills, you know, Marines, whatever, just, you know, doing their drills. But then they vanish.
Sure.
And that's what, again, one of those places. And this is what I found, too. So I've been doing ghost research for like 20 years now. And once in a while you work on a story, especially if there's like some sort of military involved, whether it's, you know, the USS Hornet out in Alameda, California, or a military base or whatever. There are people that get offended by the notion that these good, honorable soldiers are still haunting us, right? That they're not at rest and so on.
Sure.
And that's when I get into a real fundamental disagreement with some people. Well, that's what you've been told that a ghost is. A ghost is this restless spirit that can't rest because they've got agony over some unfinished business or they're tormented by something. I don't know. I think in some cases you're talking about a soldier that's still manning the watch. That's pretty awesome. Still tending to their duties or reminding us of their duties, even long after they're over. And that's amazing. That's a great thing. That's an honorable thing. It's a way to remember and honor these souls that went before. And there was a lot of overlap when it came to the White House, because the White House, it's so many things, right? It's a building, if you want to be boring. It's a house. It's where someone lives. Public housing at that. You and I are part owners, by the way. You know, it's mm-hmm. It's an office, but it's also a military installation, arguably, right? I mean, the military decisions get made in that building, and it's an idea. You know, it's an idea that this person that we elect, for better or worse, sits there, lives there, works there, in this place that is it's kind of like a beacon. And the White House story changes. It changes all the time. It changes every 4 years, every 8 years. It's always evolving. History is still being written inside that building. And I'm just curious what that will stir up. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
It's, I mean, how many times is someone like the expression, oh, so-and-so's rolling over in their grave based on that thing that just happened. Mm-hmm. You know, shoot, what direction is our country going in? What do our forefathers think of the division right now? What does Lincoln think?
Yeah.
You know, like, guys, man, we've been here. Stop it. You know, like, this is, can't we get back to arguing about like football and baseball? Right. I mean,
sure.
Yeah. We've been here before. Can you please take a lesson?
Let me ask you about this one. And this is something that I don't know if you've seen this over the last handful of years. I certainly have here on this end. Been getting letters, been getting calls and stories of accounts of paranormal activity. And it's obviously a touchy subject because it's not that far in our history of the 9/11 attacks. And I've gotten stories from New York. I honestly haven't gotten any from the Pentagon of that area. But quite often when you have a haunting or a very active situation, it sometimes is caused by sudden death and people not seeing anything happen. All of a sudden, boom, they're gone. And obviously that is what occurred on that day. Has there been anything reported? And you know, I asked this, you know, and we talk about this with all respect, but has there been anything reported in the area of the Pentagon where those attacks took place that you're aware of?
No, I haven't heard anything related to the Pentagon, and which sort of makes sense because there's such a culture of secrecy there.
Sure.
That you don't even talk about, like, hey, what did so-and-so have for lunch?
Yeah.
You wouldn't even share that, right?
Sure.
Whoa, hey, I don't know. I could leak a national secret. So that's part of it. But there's also something to our ghosts. And this is, again, just something I've observed. There's a sweet spot for ghosts. And when you talk about 9/11, I have no doubt that that place should be haunted. And I say that in a respectful way. Let that haunt us forever. Those people were just going to work and trying to earn a living and died senselessly. You know, let's not let that happen again if we can possibly help it, and let the memory of that haunt us for a long, long time. However, ghost hunting and paranormal investigation and stuff like that, it's crass if you go too soon.
Yeah.
Right. It's I don't know what that number is, and each location, the number probably varies slightly. But it seems to me that, you know, once the people have been deceased a good number of years, once they're their children, you know, are either grown or also deceased. That's like the safe spot to talk about, which I think is why Civil War era ghosts are so popular in our country. It's very safe. Mm-hmm. You're not going to offend anybody. That will continue to move forward, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, 100 years from now, the 9/11 site might be one of those places that you know, people talk about, or the Pentagon, as an active haunt based on what took place there long ago, because now it's safe. It's not such a raw thing for us to process.
Yeah.
And that's pretty amazing to me too, just like how the narrative works for us in dealing with, you know, our society. We deal with tragedy in all kinds of ways. We make horrible jokes, right? I mean, I'm being a child of the 80s, I remember the Challenger explosion and, you know, all the jokes that came of that, and they're horribly cruel on the surface, but you know, sometimes if we don't laugh, we're going to cry.
Yeah.
And that's part of who we are. And I think part of who we are is also to reach out for that thing, this idea, the past, right? We need these icons from our past. We need to connect with them. We need them to still be with us, because we don't want to be in this all alone. And so I think a lot of us take great comfort in knowing that Lincoln's lurking in the White House, or that there's Civil War soldiers still marching on Gettysburg, or grandma, you know, still pays a visit to the old house, and so on, because we don't want to think that this is it. This is all we get.
Sure. No, I completely agree. It is one of those interesting things where, you know, to go in and investigate a site like the area of the crash where the Pentagon happened, or the World Trade Center, it kind of makes your skin crawl to think of a ghost hunter out there.
Yeah.
But you certainly still, you know, there's people who are just there visiting, not hunting, but, you know, they turn around and there's someone there and then they're gone, or they hear a voice or something. That those are the type of stories that I've been getting, more specifically from the World Trade Center site.
Yeah.
And it is interesting how history moves, and how what we, you know, view as acceptable when we talk about tragedy. One of the best examples I bring up on the show quite often is the fact that you can go to, or at least several years ago, you could go to a carnival, and one of the most popular bouncy houses of the time was the Titanic blow up slide.
And
you look at that and you go, oh my God. And I remember seeing that shortly after 9/11 at a carnival. And I was just thinking, my God, 100 years from now, is there going to be a bouncy something of that? I mean, is that how disconnected folks are going to be 100 years? Because we're talking, you know, tragedy where thousands of people perished. And it's disturbing. It's interesting. I don't even know how to describe it, but it's just how, you know, human perspective moves on once generations have been removed from what the tragedy was.
Yeah. And again, it's how our society deals with it. The other thing that fascinates me about any haunting is that whether a building is haunted or not is not up to me, and it's not up to you. Right. I mean, this is a collective decision, right? It takes a village. It takes a community to establish a haunt. It takes multiple people whispering and talking about, oh, did you hear about that building where this happened? Like, oh yeah, it's haunted. People see ghosts in there. And my grandmother, my mom's friend, my cousin's former roommate's uncle's brother, you know, saw the little girl in the upstairs window. Like these kind of things turn up, and they turn up about some buildings and not others. And again, the journalist in me is like, well, that's weird, right? You, especially living here in New England, we've got all these old buildings, all these great historic places that look an awful lot like they would have looked 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 250 years ago. And so why is it this 250-year-old building is haunted and the 250-year-old building next to it is not?
Yeah.
It's being old is not a rule that you're haunted.
No.
It helps, sure, just more history, more chances. But at the same time, that's fascinating to me. That's just being an observer of the world around me, that sometimes these buildings gain a reputation and others don't. And I am intrigued by that. I want to go there. I want to go there at night in the dark, and I want to see something. I want to have my own experience. You know, I want to talk to the people that saw it and just roll my sleeves up and get inside of that and figure out how this all works.
That wraps up part two of our interview with Jeff Belanger about the haunted White House. Be sure to check out his book, available wherever books are sold, and the audiobook version of this as well, available on Audible. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.